Hello and welcome into Evolve Lactation. I'm Christine, and this is where current and aspiring lactation care providers find the inspiration, resources, and connection they need to thrive in their lactation practice. I am so excited and so proud to be able to tell you that my book is now available. I really am very excited and really want to get this book into as many hands as possible. And one way to do that is to give you as much information as I can about the book, who it's for, what is in it, and the goals of the book. So my new book is called Evolving the Modern Breastfeeding Experience, Holistic Lactation Care in the First 100 Hours. You've probably heard me talk about the first 100 hours concept before, if you've been listening to this podcast for any amount of time. And I know that you probably have a good understanding of what that means. And I want you to know that I've been teaching these concepts for years. I first thought about it about 10 years ago, and I started putting it to paper immediately when I thought about it. And over the years, I've had the opportunity to talk to so many audiences and to teach so many people about this. And I've gotten such a good reception from so many people, from hospital folks, from WIC audiences, including breastfeeding peer counselors at WIC. I have spoken to audiences of lactation care providers. I've spoken to so many people about this concept, and they always say it's so simple, but it makes so much sense, and it really does have the potential to change things. And I wanted these concepts to be in a format that's accessible to people. And my husband had been saying to me for years, you should really write a book, because he knew that I was doing all those sort of modern things besides teaching, of putting things out on social media and having a podcast and all these things. And he said, you know, there are people who still would want to read this in a book. And writing a book really gave me the opportunity to explore the concepts, not only in a clinical way, but in a different, you know, from different perspectives, and to think about things that I've been thinking about all along, but I never really talked too much about. Like, I've told the origin story of why I came up with the concept of the first 100 hours, you know, about the exact patient, the person that I can remember, you know, dealing with her situation that really gave me these ideas. But I didn't talk as much about what it's been like to implement this and what it's been like to put it out there in the world, and the kinds of conversations that I've had over the years that have really given me a lot of insight into why this concept wasn't already really accepted. Like, why don't people know this already? Why did I have to say it? You know, so if you've ever felt like you or the people around you get caught up in the drama around the early days of breastfeeding, this book is going to be for you. You know what it can be like when somebody is telling you their story of how things started out with breastfeeding in the hospital. And if you are a birth worker who doesn't primarily work with lactation, but it is part of your scope and it's something that you're providing to your clients, or if you are a hospital lactation care provider, or if you are a hospital staff, but you don't have specific lactation training, you probably understand exactly what I mean when I talk about how the hardest parts of breastfeeding in the hospital tend to be around the fact that it's such a brief time frame. There's not that much time to learn things. And most staff in the hospital are assigned to multiple people. So when you're in the hospital having a baby and trying to learn how to breastfeed that baby, even if you had prenatal breastfeeding education, it might not be exactly what you need for this baby. Even if you had breastfeeding experience with other children, that might not be exactly what it's like to breastfeed this baby. And if you didn't have any prenatal breastfeeding education at all, you're trying to learn a lot of things in a very short time frame from somebody on the staff who has other responsibilities, not only to other patients, but for you. You know, your nurse has other responsibilities in your care. So it makes for a situation where people are just being overwhelmed by how much information they're getting, how many things they have to do. And if anything really becomes challenging about breastfeeding itself, it's very easy for it to get set aside or pushed aside, either by the mother or by the staff around them. And what happens in the hospital has sort of this oversized effect for people. It's really, really just ingrained. It's really, set into their memory as what it's like to breastfeed, even though what it's like to breastfeed in the very first few days is usually not at all what it's like to breastfeed later. But if it feels really hard and really overwhelming, that can leave a very bad taste for people. And of course, there's lots of other clinical things about it, but that in itself can make it really tough. And that's sort of what I think of as the drama around the early days of breastfeeding. And one of the other things that I've heard over the years and that I've observed over the years is that I know that the hardest work that a hospital-based lactation care provider does is not the work they do with their patients. It's the work that they do to try to break down and rebuild the belief systems and processes ingrained in people and institutions, because many of those people and institutions have lost faith in breastfeeding. So this book is very focused on restoring people's trust in breastfeeding as a process. It's very common for people to misunderstand or to simply not even know the timeline of milk production. How does it progress through the earliest hours of lactation? They often misunderstand how to know if a baby is getting enough milk and even what to do if they're not getting enough milk. And so those are a lot of the things that most parents and many healthcare providers worry about as well. So when we think about some of the common challenges that are happening in the hospital experience, many babies are experiencing things like low blood sugar, jaundice, or poor weight gain. And if, again, you are a birth worker whose primary occupation is being a doula, or being a community-based midwife, and you're providing lactation support as part of a larger package of support, so it's not your primary function, and perhaps you're not as well trained as you'd like to be yet, or if you are sort of new to lactation care, if you are a nurse providing postpartum care in the hospital and you don't have as much lactation care education as you'd like to, it's very easy to become intimidated by these types of conditions because they're medical and the tie-in to what's happening with the baby's well-being is really, really strong. And the less experience you have with it, the easier it is to get intimidated by these situations and to feel like with your breastfeeding education or your breastfeeding knowledge, maybe you really don't know enough to be able to help. But I have to remind you, and that's what this book is about, that the best protocols for resolving all of these issues are rooted in the fundamentals of lactation and breastfeeding. More contact with mother, more breastfeeding, and more milk expression so that there can be more milk given to the baby. Sure, sometimes in these situations, there are other additional interventions in the plan that the baby needs. But the lactation-based solutions have to be the main part of the plan, or the entire feeding plan can be derailed. No one should end up not breastfeeding because their baby had transitory low blood sugars or jaundice in the hospital. That's absurd if you really think about it. It's such a minor part of the overall experience of breastfeeding and the overall time frame of when breastfeeding is designed to be happening physiologically. So no one should have to throw it away or stop breastfeeding or be completely derailed just because their baby got jaundiced in the hospital. That doesn't even make any sense. It's such a small part of that whole situation. The problem is, if they don't get the right information and they don't get the right lactation support at the right time, that's what ends up happening for a lot of people. The great big secret of breastfeeding is that there is no big secret. There are markers to observe and interventions that can improve things. And the thing about having a baby in hospital or having a baby in a setting where a care provider, like a licensed midwife, is watching over their well-being, these safety nets are already in place. We know what to look for. We already know this information. It's not new. It's been around for a long time. And actually, that's one of the reasons that this book does not have specific scientific references in it. This book is based on the protocols that are coming from the major health organizations about breastfeeding, like the World Health Organization, like the Academy of Breastfeeding Medicine, large organizations that are devoted to the health of babies and people that are already looking at all of the scientific evidence. These are really not things that are going to change drastically. We are not going to discover that something is going to be really, really different from what we already know are the best protocols to manage these types of issues. So when we have these safety nets already in place, there's a way to find out if breastfeeding is actually going okay. It's not a mystery. We know what to look for. The problem is we often don't look for it, or we misread some of the signals. Now, it's also true that many healthcare providers have seen babies have poor outcomes with exclusive breastfeeding. The problem with them using those experiences as a reference point is that that's not the global norm. And their anecdata and stories may be skewed if they are conflating late preterm babies with healthy term babies. That happens a lot. Those populations are mixed up, and we can see a lot of breastfeeding issues in late preterm babies. They're not the same as healthy term babies. They have other requirements. And so when they are exclusively breastfed, we're more likely to see some of those problems. Again, the safety net protocols that we already have are still going to catch those things. But there are other things we can put in place for babies who are outside the healthy term population. But the biggest problem with using personal experiences, as in the things that happened to yourself on a lactation journey, or the people who are close to you, or using even only the babies that you yourself have seen as a healthcare provider, if you use those things as a reference point, this is a bias. And what happens is this becomes a bias against breastfeeding if you've seen a lot of breastfeeding problems. It's also a lack of knowledge. Provider bias is actually one of the biggest barriers to breastfeeding that we don't talk about very much. And most people won't even realize that they're biased. This goes for lactation care providers as well. And we have ways of seeing this, how it shows up. I've been talking about this for a couple of years, and I've held some workshops where we work on people's individual ability to see where their opportunities for growth might be, what baggage is holding them back when they're providing lactation care. But I do feel that there's a lot of misinformation that's passed on when people are providing lactation care from a place of not trusting breastfeeding. And when that bias is sitting in there, that changes how people provide their lactation care. It's also really important to understand that what happens there is that what we're trying to do is create a mindset where breastfeeding and milk production are protected. We want to see that the capacity to breastfeed is maintained and protected no matter what happens, so that if a mother wants to breastfeed, she can. She doesn't find herself in a situation where she can no longer breastfeed because we didn't give her the information or the skills or the techniques or the knowledge that she needed to have at that time. One example of this is when we are sending people home from the hospital formula feeding because their baby can't latch or they have a breastfeeding problem. That's not a whole plan. Formula feeding is not a whole plan in itself. And neither is pumping. It takes a comprehensive approach to ensure that breastfeeding can be resumed if a baby can't latch and or has another breastfeeding problem. We have to make sure we're providing all the supports and the continuity of care as well as all the information and techniques and strategies so that people have the ability to resume breastfeeding if that's possible and that's what they want to do. Again, it's absurd that someone should have to stop because they have a breastfeeding problem in the hospital. These problems are almost always fixable. And we want to make sure that people go home knowing that even if they're having a problem, even if they've struggled, even if they've found themselves having to feed in a way that they didn't expect to or didn't want to, it's okay. We can work on this. We can move forward. There's always something that we can talk about. There's always something that we can work on. We really want people to go home continuing to have that mindset that breastfeeding is possible. So in the final section of the book, I talk a lot about lactation leadership and the mission that we have. And the mission of this book really is not that everyone breastfeeds. That would be great if that was an outcome, if that was a result of this book and this strategy, that, you know, breastfeeding rates increase. Wonderful. I do hope that. But the mission really is that everyone has the support they need to breastfeed. So if they choose to, they can. If they want to feed their baby human milk, they can. We want people to have that because that is true choice. We often only hear people talk about infant feeding choice when they're talking about formula. But the problem is, if we don't give people actual practical lactation support, especially very early on, they don't have a choice. If they don't have the choice to continue breastfeeding because we didn't give them the help they needed, that's not infant feeding choice either. That's doing the next thing that we have information about or that we get support for. So when we do that, I've, you know, elucidated a lot of strategies in the book, a lot of clinical strategies, as well as ways to talk to people about this approach. And I think that there's, you know, a good set of people that I would really love to see read the book. So when you think about the book, once you've read it, once you've become familiar with it, what would be really awesome is if you shared the book with somebody who you think you could, you know, make some headway at influencing them so that maybe even if they understood or accepted or absorbed one piece of what you find in the book, that might be somebody who works in the NICU. It might be somebody who works in labor and delivery. It could be an OBGYN or a pediatrician. It could be a postpartum nurse. It could be anybody that you are in contact with who has the opportunity and the privilege to work with pregnant people and newly breastfeeding people, because these are the people that this approach specifically is most going to impact, and they will have the most impact on the new family. We have to remember that what happens in those first earliest hours and days of lactation, it's so important, and it really does have a lasting effect on how much confidence people have in their ability to breastfeed and whether they believe that it's possible or not. And there's nobody that should go home from the hospital having had a breastfeeding problem thinking, oh, breastfeeding isn't going to work for me, because help is available. Breastfeeding is important. And if it's important to you as a mother, then help is available. And of course, I want you to make sure as a lactation care provider that wherever you are in the world, that help is available. And not only that you make help available, that you make it super easy for people to find out how to get help. The more we can simplify this for people, the easier it's going to be. If you Google lactation help in the city where you are, it should be really simple for people to figure out how they would get lactation help when they need it. If it's not, it's your responsibility to work on strategies to try to make that easier for people. And that could be simply, you know, creating a social media campaign that your public health department can put out there. It could be talking to people who work in the hospitals about making sure that people have access to, if they maybe have a handout, you know, a physical piece of paper that people go home with, with, you know, contact information, or maybe there's a QR code that people can use with their phone before they leave to get in touch with the lactation support provider. There are so many ways that you can make it easier for people to figure out how to get help, because it's really hard when you have a new baby. We all know that because we work with people who are in that early postpartum stage. So I just want to encourage you to read the book. First of all, read the book. The link is going to be in the show notes. And when you've read the book, think about the people in your sphere of influence who really could benefit from the book. There's a specific section in the book called Restoring Your Faith in the Process of Breastfeeding. And that section is really going to speak to people who sort of have lost touch with that trust. And while I doubt that that's you, listener, because if you're listening to this podcast, I have a feeling you're pretty committed to understanding that breastfeeding and human lactation are awesome, fascinating, and definitely trustworthy. But there's likely a lot of people that you know who have lost some faith. And for varying reasons, this happens. It can be because you mostly work with clientele who have great difficulty with breastfeeding. So it's sort of easy if you're not immersed in the world of lactation all the time to sort of lose sight of how important it is. It becomes more important to you to sort of take pressure off of people. And when that is your goal, to take pressure off people, then you're no longer advocating for breastfeeding, which is the responsibility of any healthcare provider. So to sum up, I hope you will read the book, and I hope you will share the book with somebody who really could use the information in the book in terms of making mindset shifts, as well as in terms of the clinical information that's in there. So I appreciate you listening to this episode. I will include a link to the book so that you can easily get to it. It's available for your Kindle, which means that you can buy the Kindle version even if you don't have a Kindle. You can still read that on the Kindle app if you choose to, which you can do on your laptop, or you can do it on a tablet or your phone. If this episode spoke to you, I would absolutely love for you to leave a review for the podcast. That really helps. More people will become aware of the podcast if you do that. So I would really love to hear if you've got a review, and if you have feedback for me about this episode, about the podcast, or about the book, I would sure love to hear from you. That would be amazing. I'm on Instagram at IBCLCNCA. And you can also email me back straight through the email that you got telling you that this podcast was available. So please take good care, and we'll talk again soon. Thank you so much.